As you walk through the valley of the shadow of hell, you will see through the fog a bend in reality. A veil that is beyond your own comprehension. It's the other side. Beyond the void.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to
Beyond the Void,
our podcast.
That's right. It's episode 365, and it is our second episode live, or recorded live, for our YouTube channel. So if you're listening on our audio podcast, we do also have video. But don't feel pressured, either or, whatever you prefer. We have it for you guys, so welcome. Welcome, welcome. I am Alex. This is...
I'm Christina.
So for those of you who are new to the podcast, we got to start saying our names, I guess, right?
Got to get to know us, I guess.
Christina is my girlfriend. She's been with me on this podcast now for over a year, 2 years?
Five?
No way. No, I mean, like, as far as a host, a co-host.
Yeah, since before the
No, the I mean, like, consistently, Christina, not the first time you're on.
Alex...
It's not been 5 years.
It has.
Well, shit, Jesus, time flies when you're...
It was like 2019, 2018.
Really?
Yep.
God, I don't know. Just
Wait, was it?
That's what I'm saying. I thought you were only here for like 3 years. I don't know. What the fuck?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll
anyway,
you know.
Christina's been here for some amount of time, longer than a year
or
two.
It feels like fucking 20 years.
Somewhere between 3 years and 28. So I don't know. We haven't even been on the air that long. So, but this week we're going to be doing a episode on Annihilation. We did a community sort of poll on YouTube, and we'll probably switch it up and just move it around so that everybody gets a chance to do it. But I just felt like doing it on YouTube so that I could draw some more attention to these video episodes. It was like, what was it? Like 50% of you guys chose Annihilation from 2018. The second up was They Live. So we'll probably end up doing that for next week, just as a, another movie. I was very surprised that nobody chose the
Blood Diner.
Blood Diner is a sequel to Blood Feast, one of the original gore masterpieces. It's not even a sequel, it's a remake. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's like four remakes that I just there's like, you know, so many different versions of Blood Feast. But if you guys don't know what that movie is, it is a so bad it's good movie. And it is insane, like insane. Like there is so many crazy things. For this episode, I'm going to try to add some like video and stuff to kind of like put in there. So while we're talking, you guys can see it. I didn't really have much time last time and I didn't know the format. So just bear with us. Like I said, things will get better with time as I start thinking of things to do. So
the last episode we did The Crow.
Right.
And so people didn't like us too much for it.
I mean, I don't think we got any shit. I think people were more nice than not, but I think a lot of them had some hatred for us for even just like even talking.
Mentioning about the remake.
Yeah, like I think a lot of you guys have your bat blinders on. So
your bat blinders.
I think, actually bats don't need blinders because they're just blind. So no wonder you guys don't know. I'm just kidding. No, we don't care. I mean, it's just for us, it was just not as memorable. So it was disappointing. We never said it was bad.
Right. It was fine. It was a good movie.
Yeah, we just said that it was a little cringy. And so we were like not expecting that. We were like, God, this.
I didn't remember the dialogue.
It's like
so
watching
bad.
An old video of you when you were in high school and you're like, ooh, God, what was I saying and thinking back? But anyway, so yeah, we got our goth and industrial cards pulled, and
I'm so sad. I'm gonna go write a song.
Yeah, why don't you guys go write some poetry under a tree, you fucking idiot? I'm kidding. Why don't you put on some latex and fucking climb buildings or something, you know? Anyway. sorry. Anyway, what else is going on, Christina?
Well, I watched Late Night with the Devil because you saw it. I didn't see it, so I finally got to see it since it was opening weekend.
Yeah, she finally got to see it. I let her see one of the screeners that I got two, actually. And so we didn't get to see it in the theater. And to be honest, I really wasn't too pressed about it, but I think everybody should go to the theater. Don't get me wrong. Go to the theater and see this movie. But I was just thinking in my head, like, back in the 70s, this takes place on the TV.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, but I think in the theater, you're going to get the full Monty, so to speak.
Right.
So, but what did you think?
It was okay. I liked it better. are you going to pull my card now?
They're going to pull something.
It was okay. I like the ending. I like how it wrapped up. It was a little slow.
We don't want to talk about what's in it, but yeah.
I know I'm not.
Okay.
No, it was just a little slow for me.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't know what
you were
expecting
more, maybe?
Yeah, I think I was expecting a little bit more, but, you know, it was okay.
Is there anything you liked about it,
the
maybe?
Ending,
thank you.
Which I can't talk about, so. Well,
right, but is there anything you can mention that isn't spoilerific that you could talk about?
Well, the controversy with the AI in the movie,
I
didn't care because they used to do like slides in between like segments and commercials in TV, and that's all it was, and it was only like three.
Right. Yeah, I was talking with the Rock. Oh, actually, I was talking with Splattercast because we did a deep dive on this movie, by the way, guys. So if you want to check that out, I'll include a link for you to check out afterwards of us talking about the film and like a deep dive. So if you've seen the movie, then you know, you can spoil it with our spoiler talk. So, but we talked about that. We were kind of debating whether we should bring up the AI thing. Because if you guys don't know
what's going on, you know,
there was like some controversy that almost started up where people were getting upset because they had heard that there was some AI manipulation in these slides. And so people were like, oh, we're supposed to be against that, right? And so we have to.
Well, yeah, we are.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, I think like a lot of people jumped before really kind of looking at the entire picture.
In this particular situation, I don't understand the difference between them using the AI in Photoshop.
Well,
I don't understand.
Here's why people do not like AI. It's because it's replacing people's jobs, correct? That's what we're upset about. We want
right,
people
yeah,
to...
Right, yeah, because it's going to take my job.
Right, we want people to get paid, and we want people to, have creativity on their own without some sort of AI, right?
Right.
So technically, there was nobody that would have lost a job in this situation because they had already hired the team to do it. And these people completely designed the entire, like, movie.
So they just ran it through,
right,
like, a filter.
Probably the post-processing part of the movie making, where they were, like, editing and all this other stuff, they probably had, like no time, and this team of people, somebody decided to try out AI just to manipulate either one of their photos that they designed and change it a little bit, or take a AI photo and then they go back in and change on top of it. That's how they explained it. So one, it didn't take someone's job, and they did end up manipulating it, and it wouldn't have lost anybody a job, so to speak. So I thought it was a little too much to get upset about. But, you know, I get it.
You give them an inch, they take a mile.
Well, I think people are just quick to jump on that.
Remember when everyone got up in an uproar once, like, Siri and Alexa were in the Xbox? Because that's really where it was,
right,
first.
Yeah. Well, that's here's the other funny thing. Okay, so console, this is like, I'm going to go back because, like, okay, so we had the issue when there was Xbox had a video camera. And it's like people look at the Xbox and don't think computer. But that's all it really is.
Uh-huh.
And we've had like cameras on our computers forever, you know. And so all they were really trying to do is say, hey, we're just kind of making it like a computer, you know. Like you can talk on it. They had bought Skype. So they wanted people to use Skype.
But it's intruding our home and they're spying on us.
You know, what I used to tell people when we were in the comment section of the... I'd be like, dude, I don't know about you, man, but Thursdays is... what is the Secret Service that spies on you?
What, the CIA?
No. The one that's on the computer.
I don't know.
I was like, it's Thursdays and they're spying on us. So I do a little show for them on the, I get a little undressed and I eat some pretzels and spill a little chocolate there on my scrum-diddly-ums.
And now it's TikTok. Now, you know, TikTok's data mining your.
Well, was the camera thing and the Xbox. What was it called? The Kinect.
Mm-hmm.
Was like a big, everybody was freaking out about it. And they were turning it into a problem. And then now everybody uses Alexa.
It's the same thing.
It's like, it's like that meme where it's like, it's like the 50s. The government's tapping in on your phones, you know? And then the lady's like, hello, government tap. How do you make pancakes? So it's funny how this has changed. Then even that, if you think back even further, like video games on Steam are it's always been digital, a lot of it. You mm-hmm. could use your codes and put them in from the physical discs and stuff like that and put it into Steam so that you could download it. But they didn't have that on consoles, so a lot of people were freaking out about that. Now everybody uses digital on PlayStation, on Xbox, on, you know, everywhere. You know what I mean? So it's just...
Yeah.
You know, I think eventually it'll kind of settle itself out as far as AI goes a little bit. I think there'll probably be some legislation once somebody's manipulated something to cause some sort of bad thing, you know?
That's
when it's going to really fucking take off, is like somebody's going to like do a fake presidency or something like that. And then everybody's going to be like, what the hell? And you know, it's going to be like World War III starts up and we're going to make, well, maybe AI might not be so good, you know? Anyway, but yeah, I don't think Late Night with the Devil is going to start World War III, and I think you should go see it. So please go out and support the movie. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a good film. It may not be the best film everybody's seen, but I still think it's a good film, right?
Right.
For an indie?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, I do.
What did you give it a score of?
I don't know. Six?
Six.
Yeah.
Oof. That's rough.
Okay.
God damn, Christina.
What'd you think of the Beetlejuice trailer?
It was okay.
What? No.
I'm being serious. I wasn't really...
You weren't excited at all? I know they didn't show much.
Yeah.
But just him popping out of
there. Hey, there is. Hold on.
I mean, doesn't that get you excited? Because it's so long. And his,
I almost don't want to see a trailer, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't even need to.
Yeah, you just want to go in.
I just
want to
go and just experience it. Like,
you're right.
It's for me, sometimes watching trailers is kind of iffy. I do watch them. I don't think there's anything wrong with watching them.
Yeah, to get you to lure you into the film. But I mean, with this, we already know, you know, what's going on, so...
I'm definitely going to be avoiding things. Ghostbusters, people have been saying some iffy things about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is weird because I saw the...
it was a good trailer. That Ghostbusters trailer was good.
I saw the half of the bag. Those guys, the Red Letter Media guys, they were talking about it today, and I watched a video of theirs. And they were saying that they were surprised that this one they didn't hate. That they didn't like the last one, and they liked this one better.
Well, I guess that's a step.
But everybody else is the opposite.
Oh, they like the other one better?
Yeah, so which they thought was like a complete nostalgia grab, which I think the Afterlife was.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most nostalgia grab, I think. That's what they were saying, so we'll see. I don't know, maybe we'll go see it this weekend.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, if we got time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it might be that time.
Let's get spice.
Not for Dune 2. Horseshots! All right, so Christina did something we're going to do.
We're going to drink these. We haven't drinking them yet.
Yeah, we're going to try these out first for our horror shot section. So we'll make it quick. We got the spiced
Coca-Cola.
Zero sugar one.
I have sugar one.
Want to show it in front of the camera?
This is a raspberry spice Coke. It's raspberry.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a limited time.
So we're just going to try it first, and then we got to drink that.
Do you smell that?
Yeah, then we got a drink that involves it, so. Oh, I don't know about the zero sugar one.
Oh, I don't know about this one. You know what it tastes like? It tastes
like... That's like alcohol.
It's like a light... It tastes like those... Like a kid's drink.
No, it tastes like there's something in it that shouldn't be in it. That's what it tastes like.
Here, why don't we switch?
All right. I can definitely taste the non-sugar. There you go. All right, I'm going to try the sugar one. She's going to try the non-sugar. This one's better.
This one's spicier. That's weird.
Yeah, this is a little sweeter, but that one's spicier, yeah. I don't like them.
I don't either.
I don't think they're that good.
They're not.
They're like, everybody likes them, but these guys always hate everything. They Who hate the crow. This is supposed to be my goth soda. Okay, all right, calm down.
Was that did that come out for Dune?
I don't know. I don't, maybe. Maybe they were trying to use it, slyly to try to get.
Yeah, they must have.
Because there would be Dune propaganda all over this fucking shit. You know what I mean? They'd be like, try the spice.
The spice is life. Yeah, everybody. Oh, wait, that's Mad Max. Is
there would
spice
be like little
life?
Children drinking it, and like their eyes are all blue, and they're like foaming out of the mouth or something, you know, on commercials. All right, so I'm gonna use the regular one to pour for our shots, okay?
And what shots are we doing?
We're gonna be doing a shot called the Shimmer, which is based off the Annihilation movie from 2018, guys. So, what's in it? Obviously, you got your spiced Coca-Cola. We got 99 coconuts. 99, by the way, guys, is going to be something you're going to get used to here and around here.
We do a lot of 99s around here.
Yeah, we really want them to sponsor us, but they don't care. They don't care.
It's okay. It's cheap enough. We'll be fine.
Yeah. It's really strong. It's like 99 proof, so that's why. Do you want to try to...
That's why it's called 99?
You always get these better than me for some reason. I don't know. My little fingers.
Because I'm a man.
Oh, yeah.
That's... I'm a manly man. But I need my bottle opener.
You need it?
I needed my own bottle.
No, it's fine. Just give it to me. I'll try it.
That got it.
Jesus. They put these on with fucking super glue? Like, Jesus. All right, so half spiced, half 99 coconuts, and you'll notice that we did a little something.
What we do?
A little something special.
Oh, yeah.
To make it shimmer.
Shimmer, shimmer, shimmer.
Shimmer, shimmer, y'all, shimmer, yeah.
Are you going to hand me mine?
Yeah, I'm just showing you. We did the top with confectionate sugar that was like glitter, but it's kind of looking purple now.
Ready?
Cheers.
I'm not ready.
Cheers, everybody, to Annihilation and Resolution for the movie. Thank you. Hey.
Okay, I'm okay.
I thought it tastes good.
It's just a little strong. My chest.
Jesus Christ. I thought it tastes pretty good. The coconut was a good idea with it. I think it mixed well.
It's strong.
Yeah, well, 99.
I haven't done a shot like that in a long time.
Yeah, it's a little strong, folks. But yeah, I can handle it. I didn't think it was that bad. But yeah, guys, if you would like to try a shimmer from the movie The Annihilation or Annihilation from 2018, all you have to do is go to longlivethevoid.com and check out our hashtag horror shot section now. That's it for horror shots. All right, guys, so now we're going to go ahead and jump into our flesh and potatoes of your Community Choice Award winner, Annihilation from 2018. And we're going to go ahead and do that right now. We'll be right back. right, guys. So, Christina, you want to do the honors of telling us all about
this?
First of all, thank you again, Resolution 67, for donating a 4K copy. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, it looked beautiful, by the way. Yeah. Best way to watch this movie, by the way, is to see the shimmer off the screen.
Shimmy down my
pants and make me all happy.
Stop.
shimmy, yo.
That's horrible.
All right, anyway, thank you.
All right, Annihilation was released February 23rd.
Oh, before you go, if you guys ever want to donate or support the stream or the YouTube or whatever, you can donate your movies to us. There is a Amazon link down below for those who want to. It's not necessary, but it's there if you want. Sorry.
You sure?
Yeah, I want to let people know.
Okay. Annihilation was released February 23rd, 2018. It's about a biologist that signs up for a dangerous secret.
A secret?
Woo, that shot hit me. Secret expectation.
Oh, that's a super sequit?
Into a mysterious zone where the laws of nature do not apply. The taglines for this, I'm kind of surprised this movie had taglines for a 2018 movie because usually they stopped doing taglines a while ago.
Not really.
Fear's what's inside. The other one is one way in, no way out.
Oh, I thought it was all what's inside, one way in, no way out.
No, it was two different taglines.
Oh, okay. Well, this is obviously written and directed by Alex Garland, who you may know did the Ex Machina movie about the robot and, you know, the whole, like, what is it called? Something Uncanny Valley thing with the robots, which is coming back to theaters, by the way, on March 27th. Thank you for looking that up. And upcoming Civil War movie that he's got coming out April 12th, which is a little too on the nose right now. But hey, what do you know?
We're going to see it.
He also directed Men, which Christina and I, on first glance and first viewing, didn't really love. And I think his films kind of have that tendency
a
little bit.
You got to think about shit.
Yeah,
with
you have
his
to kind of percolate. Let your brain percolate. And he was the writer on 28 Days Later, Sunshine, and The Beach, by the way. He's not just a director. He's also a writer, producer, all that.
Oh, he wrote this, too.
He wrote and directed it, yeah. This is, of course, based on a novel, which I got to listen to a little bit of. I tried to listen to more than I could, and
ran out of time.
Yeah, well, that and I can't fall asleep. But based on the novel written by Jeff Vandermeer, which is it's called Annihilation, was the first book. And then Authority was the second, and then Acceptance. It was part of the Southern Reach trilogy, Area X, the Southern Reach trilogy. And it brings all of this whole thing together, although I have the feeling that this is the first movie that the first book was supposed to be off. And Alex Garland, of course, got the first book and was able to, he really fell in love with it. But yeah, it's got some pretty big stars in it too. We got Natalie Portman, who plays Lena. She was in Black Swan. Leon the Professional as the little girl, by the way. That was in 94. She was obviously Padme in Star Wars, Mars Attacks, V for Vendetta.
I forgot she was in Mars Attacks.
Yeah, everybody
she was so
in
young.
That movie.
Yeah.
Dude, there's so many stars in that movie.
Yeah.
I think everybody just wanted to be a part of that movie because it's Tim Burton. So, we also have Jennifer Jason Leigh, who plays Dr. Ventress, which she was in the newest season of Fargo, Possessor. She plays almost the same part as in Possessor as this.
Yeah, like a doctor. Therapist doctor.
She was in Amityville, The Awakening, which was the one where the kid's like comatose in the bed.
Yeah.
And he's got atrophy. Weird movie. It's not a bad movie, actually. It's watchable.
That was more a recent one, too. I think before they lost the copyright or something.
Yeah, it was before. Yeah, it was right before. They were trying to boost it up. Yeah. She was also in The Hateful Eight, The Machinist, Existence, which she plays one of the lead roles. And I just got that, actually. It's over here. We also have Oscar Isaac, who plays Kane, who was also in the Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Ex Machina, the Moonlight TV show, X-Men Apocalypse, Sucker Punch. He's playing Dr. Frankenstein in the upcoming Frankenstein movie that's in production. So we also got Gina Rodriguez, who plays Anya Thorensen, who was Jane in the Jane and the Virgin TV show. She's also in Deep Water Horizon and Awake. And then we got Tessa Thompson, who plays Josie, who is the daughter of Mark Anthony, the singer, and was in the 2000 remake of When a Stranger Calls, and all the Creed movies, of course, too. So she was the girlfriend?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Of son. Creed?
Yeah.
Creed's son, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name. It starts with an A. She was also in Thor Ragnarok. She was like one of the like fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in Charlotte in the show Westworld, which was a pretty big one for her. Benedict Wong is on this, also in this. He plays Lomax, the guy interviewing Lena on her return. He's real recognizable. He's Wong in Doctor Strange, obviously, and Martian, Prometheus. He did Martian, which is crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is very similar to this in a lot of ways. Like, they're like watching from a distance. And, but the budget for this one was $40 million, which is a lot. Opening week, it did $11 million. And gross, it did $32
million. Oof. Is that a bomb?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, technically from a production standpoint, yes.
Right.
But I'm sure they've made their money back by now.
Yeah.
Christina.
Oh.
What'd you think of the film? Watching, is this your first time?
No, this is like, okay, I think this is like the third or fourth time I've seen this. I'm pretty sure we went and saw this in the theater.
Okay.
I can't exactly remember, though. It is one of those movies you definitely have to watch a few times in order for it to come back to you. But it was a really good story. It was a little bit dramatic. And it's funny, too, because I think that one of the first things that annoyed me when I first saw the movie was it was too dramatic.
Right.
And it was too slow. But this time around.
Well, you also probably had some preconceived notions, too, about it.
Yeah. I thought there'd be more action and stuff. But this time around. I think I connected with it a little bit more. Like, I kind of, there was like a purpose for the drama that, like, you know, which led them to everyone's drama, like, led them for them doing this type of shit. That's crazy shit's going on. I thought the creature in the, it was just really creative. I like it when, like, they create new worlds, you know, because you don't know what to expect and you don't, you know, they don't know what's going on and you can't, you know, they don't explain it. They don't, which is fine. And it actually made me think of that Melancholy movie. Melancholia, the one where the moon crashes into the earth.
Wasn't it the earth crashes into the earth and then they like.
I thought the moon crashed.
Maybe you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, the moon crashed into the earth.
I don't remember.
And then, but that was one of those movies. God, I just fucking hated it so much because it was slow. But I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like this movie too. It's like.
Was that named Gwyneth Paltrow?
No, it was Kristen Dunst.
Oh, Kristen Dunst.
Yeah,
okay.
Kristen Dunst. But yeah, I think about it. You know, every once in a while, I'll think about like the sister dynamic in that movie and like in this and just Natalie Portman's character.
Yeah, heavily really female cast. So,
yeah. And just the whole world they created, too, was really creative with like, you know, them forming into humans and the plants and the creatures like mutating. And it seemed like legit science, but you know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But then the music was really good in it. Yeah, I really liked it. But this time around, I give it like a 8, 7.
Okay.
No, I give a 7.
Whoa. Well, so 7.5, because it seems like you're in between.
Yeah,
there.
I guess I hate decimals.
Oh.
Ugh.
I'm kind of with you on this. I mean, this was the first time I saw it. I was like at a 7 to begin with. Like, I was like, you know, I really am into Lovecraft and I love creatures and I love people going crazy. And this has a little bit of all of that, just a little bit. You know, it's not really heavy on any of those one things, but there is a deeper meaning to this movie underneath that is definitely, I connected with the material on that way more this time than I ever did before. So it was a little bit more of a profound experience for me. And it got my brain like kind of real creative and thinking about all this like deep stuff in a way. And this is weird for some people. You may not even realize that this tone is in there, but it has a spiritual essence to it. There is a sort of understanding of, like, when I say spiritual, like, I said the same thing about Requiem for a Dream. I was like, that's a spiritual movie. Mm-hmm. And somebody was like, what the fuck? What? They were double-donging each other. Like, what do you mean?
Because that's the only scene that people mention about that movie.
It's shocking. So people think, you know, well, how can this be spiritual if it's shocking and messed up? I think it's because, in a way, you kind of... both of those movies sort of hit a rock bottom in a lot of things. And this movie has a very undertone of, like, self-destruction and, like... Mm-hmm. There's, like, in creation, and both of those things are very, very important in sort of a spiritual awakening, so to speak. And I don't mean that you necessarily have to believe in God or anything like that. You could just believe in the universe or whatever it
is. There's something in the air, and I can't explain it.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Okay, that's not what we meant at all, but okay. All right, but you know. I know, you just want to sing. You just sing whenever you can.
But no, like, it seriously has sort of a deeper meaning like that, and understanding life and existence and our pitfalls and the things that we do that react and change, how everything that we do, like, we're never the same person as we move on in life. And it seems weird that this movie would have some sort of, like, message like that, but if you're really paying attention, a lot of it is all connected to that in all the different situations and everything, to Lena, the main character, and her significant other in the movie. I do like the action moments. I do like the soundtrack. It was really well shot. I watched all of the making of and everything like that. And there is literal practical effects for everything that you see in this movie.
Oh, that's cool.
But they use CGI on top of it.
Or behind it.
I'll get into more of that later. Uh-huh. But just for those people who think, oh, it looks a little too CGI. Literally everything that you thought was CGI was just topped on like it's icing.
Oh, just the shimmery?
No. I'll get into it later. But yeah, everything that you would think is CGI actually had a human being or like a physical prop underneath it. So they really went to some pretty heavy extent to do this. I'm surprised that this movie cost $40 million, to be quite honest with you. But I guess that's what it costs to do really good CGI.
Right.
I think it's I like the message in this one a little bit more. I like the creature effects. I like there's some actual scary things, even though this is just mostly a science fiction thriller. It does have horror elements in it that are akin to something like Lovecraft in a way, because it has like a thing, the thing sort of twisted in there too, because everything's sort of mixing together and biologically fusing in some ways in this movie in some pretty horrific ways, which is very awesome. Like, it looks amazing. And to see it in 4K on top of it was just awesome. Mm-hmm. And I think that really kind of helped too, because the sound design in this movie is fan-fucking-tastic. I like when people go crazy in movies. I've been talking about this earlier with somebody. Mm-hmm. This has a lot of that element in there. They're going into a place that they've never been before, and it's changing them and everything around them. So, very cool movie. I would say it's at least an 8 out of 10 for me this time. Mm-hmm. And it probably will go up. I'll probably come back to this because it may not have the full package of things that you were expecting, you know, like I was. Like, I was like, oh, my God, they go in there and there's, like, creatures that are, like, tree bears and, like, you know, like, all this, like, my mind and my imagination went a little bit further than where the essence of this film really lies. And it's in that deeper message of existence and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you can kind of get into the deeper message of that, you might like this movie more seeing it a second time or your first time. You might get it better than I would have gotten it, because I was expecting this action sci-fi crazy film, and it's much deeper than that. So, but yeah, I would give it about an 8.5. Like, I really think it's a good film.
Yeah, it is. It's
a fantastic film. It makes you think. Mm-hmm. The ending is kind of aloof a little bit, and it kind of makes you kind of reflect on everything that happened in the movie. Mm-hmm. And think about the deeper points that I've been bringing up.
Right.
And it was stirring in my brain
the whole time.
It's been stirring my brain since yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Since we watched it. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's something to be said about that. I think Alex Garland is one of those people that, you know, yeah, obviously he has some messages that people don't like necessarily, but I don't think he's inaccessible. I don't think he's trying to be, like, advertently inaccessible or something to a certain demographic. He's just writing from how he feels, mm-hmm. and that's who he is. That's why he wants all these women in the parts because, well, the book had them too. So it's not like he chose that.
Oh, the characters?
Yeah, the characters were in the book, by the way, which I will go over a little bit in the extras because I did listen to the audiobook of the first...
Annihilation?
Yeah, about an hour and a half in, so...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so 7.5, mm-hmm. we got about 8.25 between the two of us, which is a solid film. I know some of you wrote and said they hated this film. I understand. Maybe it's not their cup of tea. Yeah. I wouldn't say hate, though.
But when I first watched it, I didn't like it. So, I mean, I kind of understand why people wouldn't like it.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean,
and of course they're going to say that they hate it and it's pure garbage.
Well,
I mean,
it's hard for me to understand as
something else.
As a reviewer, because there's still good things in it, whether I like it personally or not. That's why I always say, if the film's made properly... If it's doing what it wants to do, if it's technically, it's got a technical prowess to it, regardless of my personal interests, it still gets a 5.
Right, but yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah, and then the rest is like what I think it did well or did not well with what I like. And the last top 2 points are pretty much my personal feelings.
Right. But so. No, the guy in the comments, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he's wrong.
They're never going to, you know, think of a film like that.
Right.
Or they would be commenting, you know, pure garbage.
I'm just explaining it to you guys. I'm not saying that you're wrong, whoever that was that wrote that.
Oh, yeah.
Your opinion is totally right.
Exactly.
There's no wrong opinion. I just think that for me, as I have to be as an as like a reviewer, I think about these things like way too much. So I have to come up with a system of how I enjoy or not enjoy movies or how well it's shot, how well, you know, all these things it does, you know. So, but yeah, I think we're going to go into our spoilers a little bit here and probably get a little deep with some of it. So I got a little bit of trivia that we can kind of sink our teeth into. But if you haven't seen it, you can actually rent it on Amazon or buy it on 4K like we did. You can also watch it on Pluto, and that's for free?
Yep.
With commercials.
Right.
Okay, so they have the VOD service now on Pluto. I didn't know that they...
It's on demand.
On demand, sorry, VOD. Anyway, if you don't want anything spoiled, here is your warning. All right, guys, so I got a few things that we can talk about in this movie. I won't go too far because we only have so much time to really kind of wrap everything up here. But it seems like these are going about an hour now.
Good.
I'm trying not to, but there's just so much information.
You just can't shut your mouth.
It's hard, man. I like talking about movies.
It's easy.
But yeah, Alex Garland said that when he read this, the book, he sort of had like a... twin experience, and that makes perfect sense for those of you who have seen the movie, because there's a mimic thing at the end that is kind of mimicking the character Lena in the movie, and it's unsure if it like enters her or, you know, like what was going on with that whole situation. But he had a very deep, moving, profound experience reading this book, and he also said that this book was very hard to kind of put into some sort of format, because this, if you're listening to the book like an audiobook, it does kind of just throw you into the middle of it, right in the middle, and it's like,
oh, and then it jumps around.
There's not a lot of dialogue between the characters. It's really a lot of descriptions of like what's going on around them, and so that did kind of leave him room to kind of come up with a dialogue and a story and things like that. But ultimately he wanted to write not as a from the story directly, but his personal experience of reading the material.
Oh, okay.
So he got it on a deeper level than maybe the book is, and I can't say for sure because I haven't read the book yet, But there are a few changes in the book that I noticed right off the bat. Instead of five people going into the Shimmer, or Area X, as they call it in the book, there's four. All the same people, except for one of them. One of the people is not in there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the military girl.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember, because there was like a surveyor, biologist, a therapist who was the leader, and mm-hmm. Somebody else in the movie.
Right.
There's like five of them. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. They weren't allowed to bring in any kind of like modern technology with them into the area. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't use cell phones. They couldn't use.
Oh, that's why they had old camcorders.
Yeah, they couldn't even use.
Oh, we were wondering about that.
Compasses. They couldn't even bring cameras in the book.
Oh.
They could use still photography.
Huh.
Or film reel, I think.
Uh-huh.
But I think, yeah.
Oh, they couldn't do video cameras and stuff then.
No, but they were definitely supposed to keep a diary of everything that was, mm-hmm. kept in this. So it's interesting, you know, to see how he kind of changed it from that to a more personal movie where the mimic and thing is. I don't think the mimic is in the book, maybe. I don't know 100%.
You haven't gotten there yet?
No. It's about a 6-hour listen, and I'm hour and a half into it. So Jeff Vandermeer, who wrote the book, also said that the first book he got the idea for on a hike. He does like a 14-mile hike occasionally or every day, supposedly. Like, that's kind of how he made it seem anyway. But he basically wrote the first book based on his trip for 14 miles each day.
Oh.
And so him describing all these things in it, mm-hmm. is his imagination sort of running wild with it,
mm-hmm.
and kind of like, you know, doing that. So he said he often gets his ideas from hikes in general, and that's why he does it so much. Oscar Isaac, who was in the film as Kane, the husband of Lena.
Right.
He was working on Star Wars while he was doing this movie, literally a few...
Oh, at the same time?
Yeah, a few lots down from each other, so... He would leave Star Wars and then come to work on this film.
Uh-huh.
They had agreed upon them.
Oh, time slots,
yeah.
And stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the one concern they had was that, Isaac was concerned with, he said he didn't want to pass up an opportunity to work with Alex Garland because mm-hmm. he wants to be in every one of his movies. So he said, you know, I thought I was going to be really tired doing this. He said, but I actually found it to be very energetic.
Uh-huh.
So while he was doing this film, which isn't an energetic role for him, he's pretty much playing it like an alien.
Right.
Or somebody that's been changed somehow.
But he was just exhausted from doing his shoot in
Star
Wars.
Yeah, he was exhausted from Star Wars, and he was energetic about doing this because it's...
Right.
He feels it's a little bit more substance, obviously. It's not that he doesn't like the work over there.
Right.
He's great in the Star Wars films. But they filmed this entire movie linearly, so from start to finish, it went the way that it did.
Oh, neat. That's
minus weird. A few parts, you know what I mean?
Oh, like some of the flashback stuff?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. That just makes more sense to shoot it all at once than...
Right.
You know, but he does it in order. So even if those parts were shot separately outside of it as a flashback, he does it in a timeline.
I mean, still, yeah.
So that the characters and the actors have this connection grow over time.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it really does help. Also, Alex Garland is one of the people that is embarrassed when people give him all the credit for doing a movie.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Because he has like such a great team of people that he trusts.
Mm-hmm.
And like he literally said that when they were shooting this, he would be like, you know, this is my vision. And then they would one up him.
Oh, wow.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, yeah, that's really great. Like, yeah, no, let's do that.
Uh-huh.
So he very much says, you know, yeah, I may be directing the people and stuff like that, but ultimately this is my team.
It's a team effort.
We are all a part of it. And he's very big on that. Like, he's
mm-hmm.
like, it's a big deal to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, which they shot this in England where he's
from.
And his crew are from for the most part. They actually shot it out back of the Queen's. In the Queen's Garden is what they called it.
Oh.
Literally 5 miles away from, like, everything.
Huh, that's
and
strange.
The book is, I believe James Vandermeer, he actually wrote the book in, because he lives in northern Florida, so he takes the hike through all these, like, wild areas like he was in, that's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to shoot it in Louisiana, but they decided to do it in England. And they had like these trees made so that they would be in the, they would look like it's in Louisiana.
Oh.
And everybody from America was like, dude, this is like, mm-hmm. I would never know the difference.
Right.
And you really can't.
Right, right.
It's pretty wild. And like, you would think like, okay, so this movie is a CGI movie, right? And they, I was telling you how they used practical.
Oh, yeah.
They made a full-on albino alligator in the movie.
Really?
Yes. And they literally, I mean, yeah, it wasn't like painted up or, you know, but it was exactly how it looked.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled it in the water to make it go in. So what it would look like, mm-hmm. because they can't CGI the water.
Right, right.
They can't CGI the reeds in the background that are like moving.
Right.
So he wanted to do that. He's a very physical, visual person as well as, you know, mm-hmm. supportive of CGI in a way, so he kind of really mixes the two of those together, which I thought was really cool. The process of them doing that with the bear in the movie, they had a guy in a suit and a bear. They had a guy, they had actually, as a matter of fact, when the bear is like going around smelling them and there's three chairs in that really crazy scene, that was Alex Garland.
Oh, was it?
With his hands in a fake, bear head.
Like puppetronics.
It was just a straight bear head thing that he could stick his hands in. They had one that was also on like a big rig that its eye could move and like, you know, its mouth could open.
That's crazy.
And like its eyebrow could fucking move.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did the CGI over top of that.
Oh, it's crazy.
And then they even had a guy who was in a suit who was wearing like this foam to kind of mimic the shape and size of it. And he was like slamming the girl up against the wall.
Oh, yeah. And then ripped out her fucking throat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget what that girl's name is. I can't remember.
Rodriguez?
Yeah, that was her last name, but I think it was like Anya. Tina. Anya.
Oh, Anya. Oh, the character name.
Because she comes in and she shoots that bear. And I love how it doesn't go down right away.
Right.
It's like, it's just like barely dead.
Oh, we're going dead jokes.
Sorry, I wrote it there and I was like, my God, I didn't mean to do it. I just, it was just there. but yeah, they were like pumping it in the head. That's one of my favorite things in this movie is that bear. Did you like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And when she was shooting at the alligator, too. That's a classic.
Yeah. Scene. Well, her all
boom, boom. Yeah. It's just like that. Yeah. That bear was crazy, though.
The thing that's scary about it is that it screams.
Yeah, the voice. Last person it killed or whatever. Yeah.
I supposedly, Alex Garland said that what the bear is screaming is relevant to Kane and Lena's relationship.
Oh, that's weird. Help?
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but he said that it was directly associated with the two of them, their relationship.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
In Anna's voice? Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. But, because, you know, in this world, everything is like kind of mixing together. It's like part of the same vat.
Right.
It's like you're in a big bubbling stew of stuff and everything is connected in some way.
It's growing and changing. And,
right. Yeah. So it's like, you know, and if you even notice that the bear, it's screaming like a woman, which is just horrifying. They have that in the movie, by the way. Or in the book, sorry.
Oh, what?
They talk about like this scream that is unsettling and they don't know what it is in the middle of the night.
Oh.
And I don't know that they put the bear in the movie, but they did have a boar that was all fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Or did they do two different things for each of the creatures?
No, I'm saying in the book, they did not have a bear that I heard of or saw yet.
Oh, they just heard the scream.
I think Alex Garland decided to put a bear in the movie instead of...
Because it's more visually
maybe,
scary.
Yeah. They came up with the look of it, too. If you notice on the left side of the bear's head, there's like a human skull.
Oh, okay.
And even further, like the like details, it has human teeth inside.
Oh...
So, yeah, it's got a human voice box that it's yelling.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is just, oh, that's so unsettling.
Yeah, it really is.
I remember seeing it in the theater going, ooh, what the fuck is that?
What are they trying to do here?
Yeah,
one of my favorite scenes was when when they were at the outpost, and it's the first time they saw it, and it flings the other girl.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was scary.
Didn't drag her out into the lake.
It like dragged her off because remember they left the next morning.
Yeah, because they had that big love like talk on the boat, and then she gets taken off. Of course. It's like as soon as you connect with a character, they're dead.
It's time to go.
Yeah, time to die, bitch. Yeah, I noticed when they start laying heavy in some movies.
Oh yeah, you know they're gonna go.
But some movies are smart. Like you start to get that vibe, and then they like pull the juke on you.
Right.
And then it's somebody else, which I love when they do shit like that. That to me is kind of a jump scare. Mm-hmm. But that's like a smart jump scare because it's like, I don't know, lateral
clever.
Thinking. Clever. Yeah, it's clever.
It's clever.
Clever girl.
Yes.
That's fucking Jurassic Park. Clever girl.
Oh yeah, it is, isn't it?
Because she's the talking about the fucking
creepy
raptor.
Silly.
So, do you want to talk about like what kind of the meaning is in this a little bit? Like, because I feel like there is some meaning to it.
Oh, so all the ladies who went out there, it was because it's like they had lost something in their life, or like they were just at a not good point in their life. Yeah. So it's like their tragedy kind of. You know, I don't know. And I like how every single character, like, they all ended up something different. It wasn't just the same thing, like, killing him or getting him. It was, like, it was something different for all of them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because then, yeah, because you don't even know. Because Natalie Portman's getting mimicked. And the other girl just, like, turns into a plant. And then the doctor, like, the light shoots up in her. And she, like, explodes and turns into a giant hole. Like...
A butthole, like a giant, like, giant turns into a cosmic butthole.
And then the other one just gets killed by the,
it's like
the bear, gets her fucking throat ripped out.
No, I mean.
Oh, she went crazy, though.
You're just, like, naming things off here. I'm talking about what.
She went crazy, though. See, each and every one of them went different, but I know that you are more clever
thinking
than me. So what spiritual thing are you talking about?
First of all, there's the whole story between Kane and Lena, which she was cheating on him. You find out throughout her going through, she's having recollections of her cheating on with like the guy at her work who was married, and she slept with him while her husband was like away all the time.
Because, it was in the shimmer.
Yeah. She was dreaming about him in the shimmer.
Right.
And, that's why her husband, he had found out.
Oh, it must have been when he was in the army or on a mission or something.
Something about him finding out is what made him do this specific mission.
Right.
That he went in on, because he comes out and just shows up at the door one day and she thinks he's dead because he's never...
For like a year later, he shows back up.
Nobody's heard from him. She's never let go of him. She's felt guilt over it. She's like, you know... Even the guy's, like, trying to, like, hit on her, the guy that she cheated on him with, and she's like, no, don't even touch me. Like, I wouldn't, if I was in that situation, I had cheated on my husband who died and I hadn't seen for a year, I would be feeling pretty fucking shitty.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want that guy touching me again.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't want whoever it was to be in a relationship because I would feel terrible about it. But yeah, he shows up at the door and he's there, and you find out later that the reason he left and went to the thing was because he knew that she was cheating on him.
Right.
And so he was just done with life. And he surprised her. He's like, yeah, today's the day. And she was like, I thought we were going to have like this whole special day. Anyway, the thing that really struck me the most in this movie is when she comes out of that whole situation and she makes it out. And she's in the room being interrogated by the guy from Kong or whatever from.
Right.
I can't think of his name.
Wong.
Wong. Sorry, I said Kong.
Oh, my God, Alex.
Wong. Yeah. Benedict Wong. Lomax. He. He's like, well, so what was in there? And like, oh, so it was an alien. And she's like, yeah, it was an entity of some sort of alien creature.
What did they want?
And she's like, I don't think it wanted anything. And he's like, well, it destroyed everything. And, you know, and she was like, yeah, but it didn't destroy. It was trying to create something new. And then I thought about, like, okay, so, and then they said, what made you come out? What got you out of here? And it was because of that connection she had with Cain.
Back to Cain, yeah.
She said she went in for him mm-hmm. because she owed him
right.
a way to find out what was wrong so she could try to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came back because of her love for Cain.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it changed her the whole time, because they talk about this in the movie, that a cell replicates itself so many times that it's never the same thing the first time around.
Right.
And I think what Alex Garland was doing is the same thing with how we think, how we change and evolve over time through all the different things that happen in our lives. Mm-hmm. Like specifically like adversity in our lives, how we self-destruct ourselves and then start anew.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So I think he was using the whole replicating a cell with replicating, reliving your life again, but still hanging on to some of that little baggage that brings you back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she came back. Like other characters, like what was it? The girl who was she was the one that turns into a plant.
Right.
She's like, I don't think I really want to do this mission anymore. And then she walks off and becomes a tree.
Right.
And it's like everybody became what they wanted to be.
Yeah, and that character, they were saying that like she was a cutter and it was because she wanted to feel something. She wanted to feel life or something. And she didn't feel life until she came here and decided to.
Right, and you see the plants in her arms.
Yeah. Yeah, she just.
Very symbolic.
Once she made that choice, she just grew into a plant and then she was gone.
Yeah. Why don't you make like a tree and leaf?
Oh my God. Dad joke number two.
That's what Lena says to her. Why don't you make like a tree and leave? And then she goes out the door and she's like, God damn it, she turned into a tree.
Yeah, but see, like everybody ends up differently.
Right. Well, that's what I mean.
This is great.
So what do you think was the, what was her name? Verndest? Dr. Ventrist. What did she wanted to be? Because, oh, let me read you guys what she said in there, by the way, which I thought was really haunting.
Oh, towards the end, when she has decided to consume the light.
She's like Dr. Ventrist, and she turns to her, and her face was like black, by the way. Like, It was like there was no eyes, there was no face.
The mimic got her.
Yeah, it was like a mimic or something like that.
It was trying to turn her.
She had this melted black face and she's like below the lighthouse and it's the last, she says, it's the last phase, vanished into havoc, unfathomable mind.
Unfathomable?
Unfathomable mind. And now beacon, now sea or something like that. And then she turns to Lena and she's like, it's inside of me now. It's unlike us. I don't know what it wants or if it wants, but it'll grow until it encompasses everything. It'll fragment us into 1,000 parts until not one of those parts remains. Annihilation. And then she like stands up and spits fire. It's like really epic.
Yeah.
That other scene with her fucking Cain.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like crazy. Losing his mind.
Yeah. With the hand grenade.
Right.
And
that was really cool.
And then he walks back up like...
But do you see what I'm saying? It's almost like they're like playing with God's ether.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can kind of make existence through thought.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, like almost like talk about the third or fourth dimension, I mean.
Right.
Where everything you think will be. And I think it's kind of that way, in a way. That's why I say it's like kind of a weird meta sort of spiritual kind of thing going on here.
No, it's just like this entity or fucking whatever it is.
It's benevolent.
It's trying to assimilate, but it doesn't know how. So it's trying to learn. You didn't get that at all? Yeah, it's just trying to learn the things around.
So
it can take over.
Yeah, it's just like us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it's trying to mimic.
Yeah.
Is that it is just like us.
Yeah, exactly.
And that we're ever changing and destroying everything around us, but really it's just to create something good for ourselves, but we destroy everything in our path.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Whether it's intentional or not.
Mm-hmm.
Although this particular entity or being was benevolent in some way, it seemed.
What do you mean by benevolent?
Benevolent means without harm. It doesn't have an intent to harm anything. That's why they kept saying.
But what if it didn't know it was harming anything?
That doesn't matter. Like, I don't think it didn't have intentions to do anything.
It had, yeah, to nothing. It had intentions for nothing.
Right. That's what I benevolent.
It was just trying to grow. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure that's what. All right. Now we're going to look it up. Now we're going to look it up.
I wasn't arguing with you.
No, no, no. Now you got me second guessing, though. That's why I'm not mad at you.
I didn't even know what the fuck I was doing.
Benevolent. There we go. It means well-meaning and kindly. So I guess it isn't benevolent.
Like you mean.
But I just mean I wasn't trying to do harm is all I meant. So,
right, I don't think it knew.
Yeah.
What harm was. It's just trying to exist.
Right. And I think that's kind of like how we all are, right?
Yeah. Which it kind of, what I'm saying kind of explains like the end scene when it's mimicking her.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she put the grenade in its hand, like it didn't know what the hell, like it didn't know. So it started mimicking the grenade and then it would just, you know, I'm going to just set everything on fire. It didn't know. I'm going to just kill myself. Like it didn't know.
I like how it was like touching the wall and then that caught fire and it was mimicking the fire. So yeah, it couldn't like,
it was like, and then it started mimicking, the fire started mimicking.
Right. Well, it's kind of like how sometimes our lives get out of control sometimes in a way. So, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
You're like, help me, my ass is on fire.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Didn't it know stop, drop, and roll?
Yeah, what the fuck? You couldn't have picked that up from eating a human brain?
They didn't eat a human brain. What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about fucking...
The bear.
Yeah.
Like, if it's contacting
I'm gonna eat your brain and gain your knowledge.
Yeah, that's how it works, bitch.
Yeah, there is that connection of the thing and, like, you know, just because it kind of, like, the aliens. Yeah. And, you know, Alex did say, he was like, you know, I'm not going to lie, you know, Alien is one of my favorite movies ever.
Right.
So, I mean, he's like, obviously there's some connection there, too, you know, with it kind of, like, soaking it up and, like, creating one big thing or whatever, or separate pieces of one big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, it also kind of means that we're connected in a way, but that we self-destruct even though we are. We feel alone, even though we're connected, right?
I think you're starting to just get too deep.
No, I really genuinely think that that's what he was trying to do in this movie. It's like, he said it was about self-destruction, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it also means a lot more than that, too.
Okay.
Like I said, self-replicating selves...
Right.
Repeating your life, restarting anew. It's all connected.
We're and definitely, all connected.
Come on, Men. We watched Men and they kept like rebirthing each other. Come on. He's definitely one of those people that think like that.
Oh, yeah, I know. Good movie.
I liked it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you guys think? Is that too far? Are we going too crazy
too
with
much.
That?
Too much feeling.
Is it not benevolent?
Not benevolent enough.
What? What did you call it?
Not benevolent enough. Bitch.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for coming by this week. Thank you, Resolution, for providing the entertainment for us. I can't even speak right now. We are going to be doing another movie next week in 4K. We got the steel book of They Live.
I'm excited. I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah, I think we did it on the podcast once before, but, you know, since we're doing videos now, too, it's kind of like... Might as well, you know?
Yep.
But yeah, so if you want to check that out, do you know where it's at? You said it's on Apple TV, and you can rent it for $3.99 on Amazon.
Right.
Or you can pick up a copy for yourself.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming by and supporting the channel. Murray's going to say hello to us and probably bark on the way out, so what do? It's a video. But thank you for supporting the channel. Thank you for supporting the YouTube. Sign up for the giveaway because we're going to be announcing something soon. So definitely put your names in the VIP club, which is the link down below. And you can find it on the website everywhere you go. So, but thank you for coming by. And as always,
Wrong with the Void.